I've often visited here, and I've so enjoyed the wonderful, lovely, sweet, gentle, joyful spirit. And so you've ministered to me, and I've really appreciated that. I've also enjoyed being at Mount Adias. Again, a lovely spirit there, and I've enjoyed being there on many occasions. So this Father's Day, we're looking at someone who is called by God to be father of nations. He's known along with Isaac and Jacob as a patriarch in our Judeo-Christian heritage. I'm not speaking all about fathers. This applies to everybody here today. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to ask Lynn to come and read for us. I just want you to sit and let the words speak to you. It's lovely just to let the word of God speak to us. And you need to listen carefully because there may be a test somewhere along the way.
So we're reading from verse 1 to 9. A little disconcerting there. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down. And God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come."
Thanks, Lynn.
Which is better, this way or this way?
Holding the mic as well? I'll do both. There you go. Hope that doesn't mess up anyone upstairs. I am God Almighty. But he starts by saying, God spoke to Abram when he was 99 years old. Now, I find that encouraging, don't you? For those of us who are reaching a little, that God still speaks and he's still interested in us, even when we get up to that 99-year-old age. God says, I am God Almighty. God introduces himself to Abraham, and says, "I am." You recognize that term anywhere? I am. It means I am the eternal one. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Two aspects of God being shown here, two aspects of his nature. Someone who's eternal and someone who is all-powerful. And we're probably familiar with that I am saying. Remember when Moses wanted to know, he says, "God, who are you? Who am I going to say is sending me? What is your name?" And God's answer was, "I am that I am." And for those of you who know, in Hebrew, there's no vowels, it's only consonants, and we get J-H-W-H. We put in the vowels, and we call that Yahweh. And then we have a whole range of different aspects of who Yahweh is. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. God reveals an incredible depth of his eternal nature, of his powerful nature. And then, do you remember Jesus made the same declaration? He was in a discussion with some religious leaders, and they were saying, we recognize Abraham, he's the real deal, but who are you? And do you remember what Jesus said? Before Abraham was, I am. And his hearers knew exactly what he was saying. He was taking on that divine title because they immediately wanted to stone him for blasphemy. And Jesus went on again and again to claim that title, I am. I am. Do you remember what it was saying? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in Revelation, the ascended, risen Christ says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the same yesterday, today, and forever, claiming that title, I am. God declares who he is, but then he follows up with Abraham to declare who Abraham is and who, even more important, who he is to become. I am God as mighty, and this is who you are and who you will become. And just as an aside, for completely free, because it was mentioned this morning about Trinity Western and some of the stuff that's going on in the world, if we started from that basis, we wouldn't have all the confusion about identities and what's going on in our world today. If we start with this, in the beginning God, I am God Almighty, we wouldn't have a problem. But you see, people have been sucked into the oldest trick in the book. Did God really say that? No, you don't need God, because you can have your eyes opened and you can decide for yourselves what is good and evil. You can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can deify yourself and you can decide. You don't need God to tell you. And so what do we have? This total mess in our world today. All because we negate and we neglect and we put God on the shelf and say, no, we don't need him anymore. Thank you. I will decide. And so we have what we see in our world today. We'll come back to that maybe later. So, I am God Almighty. Then he says, you are. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And this, of course, follows up his initial call to Abraham in Genesis 12. Leave your country, leave your father, leave your family. Leave everything that gives you identity, because I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new home, a new country, a new family. So everything that makes up who Abraham is, he's asked to give up. And so God tells him, leave and go. Leave and follow me. You are Abraham, a new identity with a specific call. You're going to be the father of nations. Of course, at this time, Abraham and Sarah didn't have children. They were past childbearing age. So to say they were skeptical is probably true. They were a little skeptical of this call. Throughout Scripture, we see how God takes individuals. He takes what seems to be impossible, and then he turns it around. He takes rough, uncut stones, and then he saves and refines and purifies and transforms them into what he wants. And we can see examples, lots of examples. We can see Jacob, the soup swindler and deceiver, who's turned into Israel, the one who has prevailed with God. Struggled with God and prevailed. We see Simon, the volatile, unstable, turned into Peter, the rock. And then Saul, the one who persecutes the faith, he comes out and says, I am Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I just love that statement, don't you? It's so definite, so confident, so clear. In one sentence, he defines who he is. And you see, today, that's what I would like you to go from here, to be able to say who you are. My name is Rodney, and it means a road builder. And I was called by God to be a pastor and church builder. In fact, one of the ministries I've had is to build roads between ministries and network with different ministries. And I may share that more about that with you later. But that's who I am. I am Rodney. And I'm a church builder. And how many of you were at the Mountaineers when I spoke? So a few of you may have heard a little bit of the story, but I was raised in a church-going family. I had a loving father and mother who raised us to be church-going young folk, but I got to teenage years, went to university, dropped out, and decided I was going to hitchhike around the world because that was the best way of being educated. So I set off And this was from Durban in the east coast of South Africa, which is where I was born and raised. And I set off, just went through Zimbabwe, got to Zambia, discovered that the world was a lot further than I thought it was. And so I came back through Johannesburg. And in Johannesburg, I met up with young people who looked just like I did. Long hair, jeans, beautiful man, you know, the whole sort of hippie kind of world. But they were speaking about Jesus as though they really knew him. And so just to cut a long story short, in a week or so I spent with them, my life was turned upside down. I encountered the risen Christ. He filled me, baptized me in the Holy Spirit to overflow in his presence and love. And my life was transformed. I then went on to train. He called me into ministry, went on to train in England, and came back to South Africa and ministered there for 11 years in the Anglican Church. I was part of what was the evangelical Anglican kind of church. I then encountered what some people are encountering today, what many churches have encountered, someone in a same-sex relationship who was on our staff. I tried to challenge that. We went year around and around in circles. Eventually, I chose to resign from that position. It was a big evangelical church in Cape Town. Resigned, we planted a new church in Cape Town. And then a little while later, I was called to Canada, came over to a small church here before being called down to Church of Our Lord in 1997. And as I said earlier, we've been there for, we were there for 20 years before I retired at the end of last year. So, I'm just not sure where we are. God calls us. He knows each one of us. He's called us. He has a specific purpose for us. And when we meet the living God, he meets us where we are, and then he goes to work to sanctify, purify, and make us into the people that he wants us to be. Now, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different... Some of us are married, some of us are single, some of us are parents, grandparents. But every one of us, God wants us to embrace who we are and go confidently to be able to declare, Rod, pastor, by the will of Christ, following him. Who are you and what are you called to do? Besides being a pastor today, I'm going to share with you one of the greatest gifts that I've been given. And that is to be a father and a grandfather. I didn't tell Lynn I was going to share this. If I had, she probably wouldn't have come. Because she always tells me that I get the facts wrong and don't tell it exactly right. So if you want to check it out with her, you're welcome to do that. But having children didn't come easy to us. When we were in our third year of marriage, we were students in England. And Lynn had an ectopic pregnancy. And she lost the ovary and the tube. And then they discovered on the other side that there was a blocked, the ovary was blocked by a latent ectopic. We were told that we could have an operation where they would put in a plastic tube in that tube, and there would be a 15% chance of conceiving. The night before she was going in for surgery, we sat down on our living room floor, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, we just believe that you can open this tube, and we ask you to do that. The next day, she went in for surgery, and after coming out of that surgery, the surgeon was sitting on her bed and said to her, your tube is open. And she said, oh, well, thank you. He said, no, I didn't need surgery. It was open when we went in. And she said, how? And he said, well, it's one of those things that only the good Lord knows. Eventually, it was another three or so years, Lynn became pregnant, and I had the privilege of delivering our firstborn with a little help from the doctors and midwives. We went in the first time, there was a false alarm, Braxton Hicks, and we went in. The next time, it was the full deal. We were there, it was an all-nighter. Now, I got so excited, I got so involved in this process that I started coaching Lynn. And so, you know, push, breathe, you know, and I'm telling her what to do. And I thought I was doing great. Afterwards, I discovered that she was thinking to herself, who does he think he is? He never reads a book. and now he's telling me what to do. Anyway, in that way, I think I had some contribution because she got so upset with me that she pushed like never before. And Jonathan came out. Jonathan is our firstborn, and we called him Jonathan because it means the Lord is gracious. And we were acknowledging the Lord's grace and his giftedness in just giving us that gift. I'll spare you any more details of the other two children. We were given three children by the Lord's grace. And that was over 37 years ago that Jonathan was born. We have three children. All of them are married, and they've given us five beautiful grandchildren. Lynn is known as Nana. And our first granddaughter started calling me Abba. And we don't know why, or fatherly, grandfatherly, spiritual person in the lives of these children. So all the grandchildren call me Abba, and so I'm Abba to them, and Lynn is Nana, and we love this part of our life. I don't believe in titles, but I do believe in spiritual functions. And as a ministry, I have as one to be a father to people, to be a father to my children, grandchildren, and to be a shepherd as a pastor. And so we have these different ministries. As we look back on our family backgrounds, we come from different experiences. Some of us can look back and are very blessed with our family background. Others, for others, it's more painful. But God is in the redemption business. And you know, he can take anything and turn it around for us. And so no matter who we are and where we come from, God is the one who looks at us and says, you are. You are Abraham, and you are going to become a father of nations. You are Rodney, which means maybe a road builder, but I'm calling you to be a builder of people, a builder of churches, a builder of networks. Who are you today? As you stand before God, do you know who you are? Can you define in one sentence, I am because he called me and he made me? So, how do we get there? Well, Genesis 17 gives us some clear direction. There are two words. Were you listening carefully? I said there'd be a test. There are two words that came up again and again. Do you remember what they were? I will. Let me read them to you over and over. I will make, I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will establish my covenant between me and you. I will give. And he giving